Okay, thank you, ladies. We appreciate that so much. And Pat and the young people may be dismissed to Children's Church. And I invite you to turn with me to Job chapter 1. And I apologize, Joe, I forgot to put on the other mic, so we have the pulpit mic here. Job chapter 1, we're going to take a little turn here and look at this passage related to Father's Day this morning, and then we'll get back to our study on the providence of God next week, Lord willing. Job chapter 1, and let's look at verse 1, verses 1 through 5. And if you're able, I invite you to stand with me and follow along as I begin reading Job 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed or hated evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Job, a caring father. Let's pray. Our Lord, we pray your blessing upon this passage that we look at this morning and upon your word. We pray you'll bless it to our hearts. Speak to us, Lord. If there be any that does not have the assurance that their sins are forgiven and that they have a home in heaven, I pray today might be the day they give their life, that they pray to receive Christ as their Savior. We just thank you so much, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you that we have this book to live by, to guide us, to teach us, to show us the way to heaven and eternal life, to show us how to have a life of joy in this life, in the midst of turmoil and trouble. Oh, help us, Lord. There are many people who are hurting, whether physically, emotionally, and there's so many other ways that we have so many problems, Lord. But you are the one who can lift us up and give us joy in the midst of the storms that we face. So give us joy this morning and give us blessing. What a privilege to be called saints of God and to be a part of the family of God. Pray you'll lead now and bless as I preach. We pray you'll have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Quite a few years ago, the police department of Houston, Texas, published what they called the Making of a Delinquent. The Making of a Delinquent as a warning to parents who were indifferent to their child's welfare, their child's upbringing. So they list 10 ways how to make a delinquent. In other words, how to make sure your kid doesn't do very well. Number 1, begin at infancy to give the child everything he wants. In this way, he will grow up to believe that the world owes him a living. I think we have arrived, right? Do we not have a generation or two that says, the world owes me a living? Well, that's number 1. Number 2, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him. That will make him think he's amusing. Number 3, never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 21 and let him decide for himself. Number 4, pick up everything he leaves lying about, books, shoes, clothes, do everything for him so that he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility onto others. Of course, we need to teach them how to do that, right? Number 5, quarrel, argue frequently in his presence. In this way, he will not be too shocked when the home is broken up later. Number six, give the child all the pocket money he wants. Never let him earn his own way. Why should he have things as tough as you had them? Number seven, satisfy his every craving for food, drink, comfort. Denial may lead to harmful frustration. Number eight, take his side against neighbors, against teachers, policemen. They are all prejudiced against your child. And I've known families that did that very thing. Well, the police are just out to get my kids, you know. It's not their fault. It's never their fault. We just have a corrupt police system. We just have corrupt teachers, you know. They don't understand. So that's what you need to do. Take his side against everyone. I know our kids, when they would come home and say, well, so-and-so did so-and-so to me, we'd try to teach them, well, you deal with it. You know, don't come crying to me. You deal with it. So number nine, when he gets into serious trouble, apologize for yourself by saying, I could never do anything with him. He was just hopeless. And then number 10, prepare for a life of grief. You are bound to have it. Okay, well, that's not how we should train our children, right? This is not what caring is all about. And yet it is far too common in homes today that we show care by being indifferent, by giving them everything we can imagine, by not disciplining them, by not being a godly example before them. My kids, your kids, needs a dad who cares. Our children, our young people need a dad who cares. We need men who care. And what is And so I ask the question, what is true care as a parent? What is true care? Where does it come from? Do you go to the hospital to get care? Is it sent to you online through an email? Do you get it from a book on parenting? Do you get care from watching others, maybe on Facebook? There's some good things about care that will help me out. The Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him and that thou visitest him? What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man, that thou visitest or care for him? Psalm 8:4. You see, God cares for us. What is man? Why would God visit you and me? Why would God care for you and me? Because God is God. God is the love of God, and that's who he is by nature. He's a God who cares, and I need to be a man. I need to be a father who cares. True care comes from a work of God's grace within a selfish heart. It is a work of God's grace because by nature, I don't care in and of myself. That has to come from God. True, spiritual, godly care. God's grace within a selfish heart. And we can cast all our care upon him because he cares for you. And because he cares for me, I need to care for others, whether it be my children, my neighbors, my co-workers, the church family. We need to be people that care. Job had a real care for his family. And we can glean something from this man, from this dad that we read about in the Bible. You look up the word care, and it is defined as to watch over. Care means to watch over, to feel concern, to pay attention, to take an interest. Dad, it means you need to watch over your children. You need to pay attention, right? Sometimes my wife had to remind me, Terry, your children are trying to get your attention and you're not giving it to them. You need to turn TV off. You need to turn the computer off. You need to close the newspaper, you know, on and on and on. Paying attention. Care means to pay attention, to feel concern, take an interest. So that's what we need as dads. Now, this is a Father's Day message, but it'll work for mothers too. Do you realize that? It works for moms. It works for aunts and uncles and grandpas and grandmas. And so we can all listen because this is the word of God and applies to all in all ages. Okay, care. concern for one another, for our spouse, for our family, for members of our congregation, for our neighbors, and so on. Because he cares for you, I need to care for others. Actually, the original word for care in that passage in 1 Peter 5:7, casting your care upon him because he cares for you, is a word that means a care, an object of concern, pay attention to, giving thought, take an interest. Okay, basically the same as our English meaning. Look at Isaiah, keep your place in Job, but over to your right to Isaiah 43:2, where I think we see a beautiful description of God's care. Isaiah 43:2. Well, let's start verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, by thy name. Thou art mine. And look at this care of God. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. That's who our God is. He cares. He cares for the sparrow. He cares for the flowers. Will he not much more care for you? Well, Job 1:1, there was a man. There was a man. He was a man of like passions as you and I are. And yet he was perfect, the Bible says. Perfect and upright. And I think that word upright kind of helps us understand what the word perfect means. It means he was perfect in the sense he was upright. He was without blame. There was no moral failure. He was godly and upright in character. Doesn't mean he was sinless, but he was just walked rightly. He walked the way God wanted him to. He just obeyed God, just like you and I can do. We can obey God. I believe much of his pleasing God, though, was due to his place as a father. That God saw in Job a godly father. He cared for his children. Well, matter of fact, he cared for everybody. We, as you read on and study the book of Job, you see that he was an influential leader in the community, and he took care of a lot of people. He looked after the widows and the fatherless and those in need, and he provided for them out of his abundance because he was very wealthy. He cared for everybody, and you and I are to do the same. But he cared for his children, and he is an example of a father's care for children. In verse 10, we see how many children he had. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 10 children. Psalm 127 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them." Well, Job was a happy man indeed, because his quiver was full. Now, our quiver may be full at 2 children, or 1 child, or 15 children. You know, each of us has a different size quiver. Okay, verse 3 shows he was very prosperous and great. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 5,500, a great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. But his true greatness was in his being a caring father to 10 children. You see, true success is not measured by the world standard of materialism and business success or standing in the society. Multiplied thousands of dads today have attained success at careers and finances and yet have failed miserably as fathers and have lost their families as a result many times. In verse 4, we read, "And his sons went and feasted to their houses, every one his day. And he sent and called for their 3 sisters, and the sons sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Now, this isn't necessarily what it appears to be. It doesn't mean they were boozing it up and just having a good old time. These occasions were not designed for revelry, especially to call their sisters to join them, but rather it was a display of harmony in their home, of unity and affection. And there ought to be that in our homes, in our families. Even as we grow older and our families grow, families ought to still have harmony. I know they don't, sad to say, but they ought to. And it was a comfort to Job's heart. It was joy to him, an indication that harmony was in the home prior to this. And that was a result, I believe, of Job being a caring father, a caring father. And we see Job's care continue after they've left the nest. Okay, number one, what kind of care was it? What kind of care did Job show? Number one, it was personal care. It was very personal. In verse 5, it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. He sent for them because he cared about each of them individually. And they gathered around as they used to. Though he was a great man, his family was still the greatest asset to him. He took a personal interest in their spiritual well-being. Your interest, your care needs to be personal as well. Otherwise, it is not really true care. We need to take time and take a personal interest in our children, grandchildren, maybe nieces and nephews, no matter what their age, and show we care, be present with them. For children, grandchildren, school activities, we need to be there. Are you there, Dad? Are you there? My dad failed in many ways. He was an alcoholic. He was a drunk. Many times he wasn't home at supper. He was at the bar. And yet he was a good dad. I remember my dad as a good dad. And one thing I'll never forget, he was there in almost every sports event I ever participated in, whether it was football or basketball or track or baseball. My dad was there. I remember him coming to a basketball game once, and he made a comment to me. He says, I'm going to beat your games, because when I was a kid growing up, my dad was never here. He was never at my games. And I always remembered that. He took an interest in those activities. We need to be there. We need to be involved in their lives. We need to ask them about what they're doing. Ask them question, how'd this go, how'd that go? And if they don't want to talk about it, make them talk about it, right? I know, easier said than done. It didn't always work for me either, but we need to be present with them. Sunday school class. Our kids ought to come to Sunday school, I believe, and then we ought to ask them when we go home, what did you learn in Sunday school today? And don't buy into this, we learned about God. Okay, yeah, thank you. We learned about God. And then the next Sunday, what did you learn in Sunday school? Well, Dad, we again learned about God. Well, press them a little bit. What actually did you do? What are you studying? Are you talking about Abraham or Moses? Are you learning about the disciples? Or what are you learning in Sunday school? We need to be there for bedtime devotions and lead them in devotions. Lead them, read a Bible story. Get a good Bible story book or read out of the Bible and read a few verses each evening or each morning at breakfast and pray with their children. But we need to be there. I know we can't always be there. We ought to be there and not relegate that to mom, to our wives. Dad's the one that's responsible for that. We need to take personal care. We need to especially ask about their interest in the Lord and not just leave that to our wives. It's a personal care. And we need to show personal care to others too, don't we? Take a personal interest in others. People need us. People are craving for friendships, true, good friendships, and we can be that friend to someone who doesn't have a friend. Secondly, it was a spiritual care. It says he sent and sanctified them. spiritual care. That word sanctified means he set them apart to God. He sent and he wanted to set them apart to the Lord, or purified them, hallowed them, gave them over to the Lord. Even though they were adults now, he would still commit them to the Lord. Job would not rest at ease and comfort until he knew he'd committed them to the Lord. He trusted in them, but he knew their heart too. And he cared for their souls. That was a priority for him. Though he was wealthy, yet the spiritual care is what mattered to him. We're so tempted to care for the material, the physical, the social need, apart from the spiritual, especially if we have means. If we are able financially to buy them things, we focus on that when we should be focused on their need to learn to walk with God, their need to learn to be in church under the sound of Bible teaching. We need to teach them from a very early age. I mean, from the time they come home from the hospital when they're born, that the Bible is a priority in this home. We need to read the Bible in their presence, read the Bible to them before they're able to read. And then as soon as they can read, they need to be reading the Bible. They need to have an assignment. Okay, I want you to read these passages for the next week. You know, every day you're going to take time and read your Bible and pray. Learn to have devotions. We need to show a spiritual interest in them and teach them how to study the Word of God. And we ought to be memorizing the Bible with them and giving them verses to memorize. And look at Genesis 35. We see Jacob. I want to look at Jacob here and his family. Genesis 35, Jacob is returning after being married to Rachel, and he's met up with Esau, and on his way back to the homeland. In Genesis 35, verse 1, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go to Bethel, and there dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fled from the face of Esau thy brother. And then Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem." The father is responsible for the spiritual care of his family. And so he says, put away these gods, put away these false gods, these idols. Job sanctified them, remember? And Jacob said, put them away. We're responsible to keep our children's interests right spiritually. They're going to be drawn, they're going to be pulled by the attractions of the world, by the flesh, by their peers, by television, by computer, by whatever means, and we need to guard them. We need to make sure they learn to put away the strange gods. We need to show we care. It's dad's duty to guard them. Dad's duty. Yes, mom's as well, but primarily dad. No, you can't go with so-and-so, but you can go with this person. No, you can't watch this show, but you can watch this. Substitution. The principle of substitution. No, you can't listen to this trashy music, but here, you can listen to this good music, you know, and teach your kids to appreciate classical music, right? Oh, man, I don't even like that. What's wrong with you, right? No, teach them to do good things, substitution. No, you can't. Say, just practice. Say, no, 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 no. No, that was the main word in our house when our kids were growing up, was no. You heard that word hundreds of times more than the word yes. Why? Because their inclination was to do wrong, and they had to be taught what no means. Be clean. Be clean. Put away the gods. And then verse 3, Jacob said, let's go to Bethel. Let's rise up and go to Bethel. That's where his altar was. That's the house of God. We need to make an altar, a place in the home for spiritual care and training. And it says in verse 4, and they gave. They gave all the strange gods. They followed him. He set the example, and they followed him. Families will follow when dad takes a spiritual interest. They will. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes consistency. I tell you, I'll be the first one to say, I had a hard time being consistent. I don't know how many times we try, okay, let's try devotions this way this time. And we try them at night. Well, that isn't working. Let's try it in the morning. We try it in the morning. And then we go several days and not have devotions. And we try again. And then we go a week and not, okay, let's try again. We got to do this. Let's keep trying. You know, Satan's going to do everything he can to keep you from it. But may our families be spiritually rich. We have access to all wealth. We may not be rich materially like Job, but we know the same God that Job knows. So Job had a care that was personal, it was spiritual, and thirdly, it was diligent. It was a diligent care. It says he rose early, back in our passage in verse 5. He rose early in the morning. Early in the morning. The Father cared enough for their souls that he made that extra effort that makes men great for God. Psalm 5, verse 3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up. Our children need to see that they have a dad that prays. They ought to see dad praying. They need to see mom and dad praying together. We love our children, but have we neglected to show diligence? And Job condemns us with his diligence. Dad, maybe you need to renew your heart commitment in this matter of praying for your family, praying for your children. We never quit praying for our children. We never cease caring for them. We pray for our children and grandchildren daily. There's hardly a day goes by that we don't pray for them. I remember Clyde Decker in our church years ago. He was in his mid to upper 80s, and he would come and he would share with me his burden for his sons. Pastor, pray for my sons. And his sons were in their 60s, you know, and still just as burdened and caring for them as when they were in the home. We never quit praying for them, and we ought to be diligent about it. We need to renew our hearts to this matter of praying for our family and even rising early for them because they are precious. They are precious. So priority of prayer to be the family. It was personal, spiritual, diligent. It was a prayerful care. Fourthly, a prayerful care. I know I'm overlapping here, but it says he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. He offered burnt offerings. Burnt offerings were offered by the fathers in that day in patriarchal times, who the father officiated as the priest in the home on behalf of the family. Noah did in Genesis 8:20 and Abraham in Genesis 12:7. The father was the head. He was representative before God, and so it is today. Now, we don't offer sacrifices, for Christ is our sacrifice. He offered himself once for all. We read in Hebrews 10:10, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and there is no more offering for sin. Christ made one sacrifice, so we need never offer another sacrifice in any way, because Christ was sufficient once for all. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, Hebrews 9:27. So the Father offered a sacrifice, but that all pointed to Christ, our sacrifice for sin. So now Dad prays to that ever-listening Heavenly Father on behalf of his children, and we can come to our Father through the offering of our Savior. Number 5, it was specific care. It was specific care. He set and sanctified according to the number of them all. Again, verse 5. Each one individually, in other words, according to each need, each temperament. And each of our kids is different, right? We figured that out. It's amazing how different they can be. Just when you think you have it all figured out, things are going well, God gives you another child, and they just ruin it all. That happened to us. I mean, we were the perfect parents. Kids were so well behaved. And then God gave us number 3. And then number 4 came along. And I mean, throw it all out the window. I don't know. These parenting books don't work anymore. You know, they didn't tell us it was going to be like this. So it was according to the number of them all. We need to train them, teach them according to their temperament. You know, what worked for Susie may not work for little Joey, right? We may have to handle them differently. You know, some of our kids got spanked every day, 2 or 3 times a day. Our daughter got spanked once in her life, I think, and that was enough. Never forget that. She got a spanking by me when she was about 1 year old or 2 years old. She was crawling, getting too close to the wood stove and going to burn herself, and I grabbed her and I spanked her, and she looked at me and she started wailing, and that never happened again, and I hardly ever had to spank her again. Wouldn't that have been nice if they all been like that? But they weren't. Far from it. Right, Micah? You remember. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then I come to find out, I spanked him so much. But you know what he would do? And he just shared this just a few years ago. He said, yeah, and him and Danny were talking. Remember we used to put that piece of cardboard in our seats, you know, behind our jeans? It never did hurt, you know. I didn't know that. And then I'd go looking for the stick, you know, and the paddle, and he'd go hide it. I couldn't find it, you know. So anyway, okay. So they're all different. Specific care. Is it not important enough to be specific with our requests for our children? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in the vain that build it. We need to depend on God. We need God's help in training and teaching our children. We need to pray. And ye have not because ye ask not. Number 6, it was unselfish care. It was unselfish care. He says it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. It may be they've cursed God. He was concerned about God's honor and glory. He wasn't concerned for his own reputation as a dad primarily, but for God and for his honor and glory. And his sons and his daughters' walk with God was of great concern, and so ours should be. It isn't a matter of what my reputation is or what people will think about my kids. Oh, I can't go there. I can't take my kids because they're just going to be wild and they're going to think we're terrible parents. Well, what does God think? What do people think about our God? That should be the main concern. And then number 7, it was continual care. It was a continual care. We read, thus did Job continually. Literally means thus did Job all the days, a regular habit. A truly caring father or mother will be as habitual at the care of children as we are for work. We're pretty habitual when it comes to going to work or for our meals. I mean, it's lunchtime, we're going to eat lunch. It's supper time, we're going to eat supper, and so on. Do I care spiritually in that way? Is my spiritual care, prayer, family altar continual? Our sleep, we always go to sleep. Every night we seem to manage to go to bed. So it is with our care for our children. It's far, far more important than these other things, but it takes more effort. Now, I know we've all begun these things 100 times, haven't we, and more. But when will we continue? Tomorrow? The next day? Well, I'll get around to it. Yeah, maybe not tomorrow, but the next day. Remember, Job's kids are out of the house, and yet his care continues, and to his grave it will, and to the grave Job would be blessed. What an example of a caring father. But after all of this, he lost them. In verse 19, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. His greatest treasure of all was taken away by God. And what, how'd Job react? Verse 20, Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. All this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What a relationship he had with his heavenly Father. And that was a secret to his being a caring father. And that's a secret for you and me, to care for our children and all of those around us, to be the kind of men and women we need to be. The Lord was first in his heart. His children were not first. The Lord was first. And he realized what so many do not, the children are a heritage of the Lord. And I think God bragged on Job because he was a good father. And God not only began the book of Job with a mention of the family, but he closes so beautifully after such seeming tragic loss with a mention of his family. And we see that in Job 42, if you'll turn there, Job 42 and verse 12. And so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, he had oxen and donkeys, and then 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called them by these names that I won't attempt to pronounce. And there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and sons' sons even 4 generations. And so Job died, being old and full of days. What a great reward. Now, God may not reward us, bless us in that way, but he always blesses us if we'll look for that blessing and count our blessings. And children's children are the crown of old men, Proverbs 17:6, and they were sure a crown to Job in the end. How is our care? Are we caring? Are we caring for our children? Are we caring for others as we ought to? It ought to be personal, spiritual, diligent, prayerful, specific, unselfish, and continual. May God help us to be what we ought to be and show the care that we should. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and your word this morning. Bless now as we close, and help us to be the men, the dads that we ought to be, the women and the wives that we ought to be, and the people of God that you want us to be. Walking with you, having a relationship with you, like Job, who loved you and put you first in his heart and was blessed as a result. Bless now as we close. We give ourselves to you, Lord, thanking you for your gift to us. In Jesus' name, amen.